Colossians chapter 1 this morning. My favorite and I believe the most probably important holiday season, if a government has ever made a holiday that was a good holiday, which is very rare. Most of them, some of them are starting to get strange, to be honest with you, but if they ever made a good holiday for a nation to observe, it would be Thanksgiving. It's always been my manner to try to emphasize that, though I don't do that in every season of the year when, you know, we're told to think about these things. But Thanksgiving is different. I do usually try to emphasize that during this week, and because I just don't think Thanksgiving could be overemphasized. I think it's one of the most needful things that we need to be reminded of. And we shouldn't have to be told to give thanks, but especially as wonderful as the Lord has blessed us, but yet we still do need the reminder. And I certainly hope that you have a wonderful time this week with family, friends, whoever you'll gather with this week. But I trust that it'll be a whole lot more than just about family or food or a fellowship time, but we ought to be truly from our heart, giving thanks to the Lord. And Colossians chapter 1, I want to read two verses and we'll have prayer. And then, you know, as I go year after year, I try to find new passages or new ways to look at giving thanks to the Lord. And maybe we'll see one this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12, the Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This phrase in our Bible in verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father, is what I want you to think about just for a moment. We ought to be finding new ways to thank the Lord, or maybe deeper ways to thank God. And certainly if we were talking about giving thanks to God, we could have put another member of the Trinity there in verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Son. He could have said that, but he didn't say that. He said giving thanks unto the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but many times my thanks is centered upon the Son. It's centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is He who went to Calvary for me. And I could never thank Him enough for that, and neither could you. We ought to thank Him for His blood, and we ought to thank Him for the sacrifice that He made on our behalf. He was my substitute. He hung there, and I should have been hanging there. And He bore my sin and shame, and I was the one that bore my sin and shame. And there's no way that we could thank the bleeding, dying Son of God, and also that was resurrected for our justification. We could never thank Him enough. Our debt of gratitude would run as long as our lives or eternity would. But yet our text this morning doesn't talk about giving thanks unto the Son. Usually that's probably where we center our thanks to our Savior. He not only uses the second part of the Trinity, He could have said in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I couldn't get through life without the Holy Ghost. I mean, the one that's on the inside of me that comforts me. You do understand, if you're saved here this morning, that the only reason that you can get comfort is because you've got a comforter on the inside. Oh, that we would be thankful. It shouldn't be hard to be thankful for the ministry of the Spirit of God in our lives, because it's a daily thing. And we can't get away from Him. He's always there. And certainly if we can grieve Him or quench Him, we ought to be able to thank Him and have gratitude in our heart that He would just live in our bodies. And that He began that moment of our salvation when He came to live inside, when we were saved by the marvelous grace of God. And the Bible said that Spirit of God washed us. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. When God's Spirit moves inside of an individual, He washes that individual. How could we thank Him enough for that? How could we thank Him enough for bringing life You know, all of us without Christ, before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But the Spirit of God is that Spirit of life that came on the inside. And something was born, and there was a birth, and there was life. And the Spirit of God wrought that life on the inside of us. We could never thank the Spirit of God enough for that. As we walk through life and He speaks to us and reminds us of our sins and brings us back in the way, and as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. We couldn't thank the Spirit of God enough for His ministry to us. And yet our text this morning is not about our thanks because of the work of the Spirit. Our text is not about the thanks to our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for what He's wrought for us. But the Bible says, would you look at it again, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. I want to talk to you this morning just a few moments about giving thanks unto the Father. In verse number 3, this is repeated again. Would you go back up at verse 3 of chapter 1? Look at it, would you? Colossians 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians repeats that refrain again. Would you look at chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 17, Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving to thanks to God and the Father by Him. I think sometimes our thanks to the Father is overlooked. As much as we are glad to be saved by the grace of God and we're thankful to Jesus Christ for coming to this world and going to the cross for us, would you hold your finger and go to 1 John chapter 4 with me? Get 1 John chapter 4. You've got two hands, and with the other hand, get John 14, if you will. Oh, the depth of our gratitude and thanks to the Father. Now, if you're not saved this morning, your Father is not God. God is not everybody's Father. God is everybody's Creator, but God's not everybody's Father. You'll only enter into that relationship with God if you've been saved. And if you don't know you're saved, you can find that out today before you leave. It's a wonderful thing to know you're saved and that you're a child of God. And we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, not by faith in ourselves or our religion or what we've done or not done. But God's not everybody's Father, but the overlooked thanks to the Father. 1 John, the Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 14, would you look at that? 1 John 4:14, the Bible says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Have you ever stopped to think that though Jesus Christ came and bore your sin and went to the cross and died that ignominious death of the cross and bled and died for you, it was the Father that sent Him into the world. It was the Father that made that sacrifice of His only begotten Son first to be able to go. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to the world, He said He came to the world to do Thy will, O God. He's talking to His Father. It was the obedience to the Father that wrought the Son to come into this world. So don't be forgetful to thank the Father that it was the Father that sent the Son. Thank the Father that gave up His darling Son to send Him down here and bleed and die. He said not only that, but in John chapter 14, as we look at our thanks to this triune God, this divine Trinity, these three divine persons that make up one God, we should not leave out the Father. He said in John chapter 14, concerning that blessed ministry of the Spirit that we as believers lean upon and enjoy every day. John 14, verse 26, would you look at it? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, watch it, whom the Father will send in My name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost was sent from the Father. You see that in the Bible.
Just like the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father, the Holy Ghost was sent by the Father. As a matter of fact, look across the page in chapter 15, depending on what kind of study Bible you have, John chapter 15, he says verse 26, "But when the Comforter who is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Oh, even as the doxology that we don't sing very much because we're not a very, you know, uppity church like that. But it should be remembered that we are to praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because we would not have a Savior had the Father not sent Him. We would not have the Holy Ghost if the Father had not sent Him into our hearts. As the writing is given, it says you need to give thanks to the Father. But this morning, looking back in Colossians chapter 1, I want to give you three things this morning you ought to thank the Father for. Three things specifically you ought to thank God the Father for because He has done that. He's done all three of these things that we'll give to you. You say, why does God spit those things out? Why don't we just say God? Because we got a bigger God than that, you see. Why don't we just generalize everything? Because He puts it in print. I tell you what, He didn't say giving thanks unto the Father because He didn't know what else to say. He wants you to verbalize things to God the Father in a certain way. Now watch it. He says in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father." Why? "Which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Now I'm going to give you this in case somebody goes to sleep. You'll have the outline. Amen. Three things to give thanks to the Father for. Verse number 12, because the Father has made us something. He made us. The Father made us. We didn't make ourselves, but He made us. And then He says in verse number 13, "Who hath delivered us." God the Father made us. God the Father delivered us. Verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." If you have nothing else to figure out what to thank God for this week during Thanksgiving time, take these three things and you couldn't thank God the Father enough all week long for the three things He's done right here. Now, if you're not saved, you don't understand these things. But we'll give you a chance to get in on them before the end of the service is over. But the first thing this morning, verse 12, "giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." God the Father has made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. I don't know about you, but there's nothing that I see in myself that is worthy of being a partaker of the inheritance of saints. I can see nothing in me that would make me say, you know, I deserve to go to a place called heaven. I deserve to be in that city of lights. There's nothing I can see because I'm just a sinner. I know where sinners deserve to be. But you know, through the wonderful, marvelous thing of salvation, God the Father makes us meet. Now what meet, sometimes you think of meat as being this or meat as being this. But we run into that word all the way back in the book of Genesis. When God made woman, made Eve, to be meet for Adam, that means she fit. Everything that Adam needed, God made in Eve. They fit together. His rough edges were taken off by her tender parts. What was different about his character, Eve was made meet for him. They fit together. That's why all of this perverted world of homosexuality, it doesn't fit together. God made a woman to fit together with a man. It fit. But now wait a minute. What about you fits into heaven? I mean, guys, every one of us in our sinful flesh are so out of place in heaven. Isn't that right? Heaven is a sinless place. Heaven is a glorious place. Well, what's glorious about us? Well, there's nothing glorious about us. Sin, heaven's a spotless place. Well, how in the world can I go to that place? How in the world could I call myself a saint? Would you call yourself a saint? Do you see yourself as a saint? You know, the religious world has their people that they put on a pedestal and they'll call them a saint, you know. Well, that's not what the Bible says. If God doesn't make you a saint, you're not a saint. Because there's no person that fits together with. Are you listening to me? You don't fit together to be a saint. You don't fit together to be a part of the glories of heaven. But God the Father, in the miracle of salvation, made you just like He made Eve to fit Adam. If you've been saved by the grace of God, God has made you to fit with His heavenly place. God's made you to be fit and a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. You're made for it. I've been made for heaven. Not something I've made myself, oh no, but something God the Father made for me. God the Father hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Think about that just a minute, that word meet. My mind goes to Esther. You know, Esther was just a Jewish girl that didn't have a father and mother anymore, and that Mordecai had taken under his wing, brought her in his home, and there was nothing special about Esther. But oh, when she had to go to see the king. You know what the Bible said in Esther chapter 2? The king sent her a bunch of clothes. The king sent her a bunch of maidens. The king gave her everything she needed to come into the palace. You know what it says? Because it was meat. In other words, God's going to take this little Jewish girl and she's going to outfit her with everything that a queen would wear, everything that a queen would have. And the king did that for Esther and then brought her into the palace. And I say that's exactly what God does for sinners such as I, sinners like you, that we are just a normal, ordinary, average, sinful individual. But through the grace of salvation, God the Father says, go clothe him, go feed him. Fit him, go make him what he needs to be, to bring him into my palace. We don't do that for ourselves. God the Father makes us meet. He fits us for the place. That's why we see religion is so vain. They try to make themselves something. You can't make yourself anything. You can't make yourself acceptable to God. God the Father's got to make you meet for the inheritance. And be a partaker of that with the saints in light. You know, he said, it's not meat. Jesus said, it's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. In other words, it's not fitting that you would take good food and throw it to dogs. Well, maybe in our society, but maybe I need another illustration. But you take the children's bread and give it to the children. The dogs don't deserve what the children get. Right? Here's the great lesson of all that. Every one of us are the dogs. We're all under the table. We have no privilege to sit at the table. But through the grace and the mercy and the marvelous thing of salvation, God makes us meet and He takes us from the dog position and puts us in the child position at the table. That's what the Father does. Oh, if you're not saved today, why wouldn't you come to the Father and let Him make you meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light? Look at that verse again, he says, which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. How is that possible? How did God the Father do that? He did that by the family connection, by making us a son. 1 John chapter 3, oh, what a great verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. God the Father, in His own power, in His own might, all those that come to His Son, that come to Christ, God the Father, in His power, declares us to be and bestows upon us, though we were aliens, though we were outcasts, though we were strangers, though we had no part, God the Father, in His power, looked upon us when we came to His Son and bestowed upon us the title of the family and said, now you're the sons of God. He made me a son of God. He made me His child. Now, I know you can't see all that. Because the next verse says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's true. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, sometimes we don't always look like children of God, do we? But God has still made us partaker of that inheritance of the saints in light by sonship, because He brought us into the family. And so we fit. Guys, can I tell you? I will belong in heaven just as much as anybody else. When I walk into glory and the Lord Jesus Christ there on the throne, when I walk into glory and all that wonderful city of heaven and all that things, all those glories of heaven, and there's no sin there, I will belong. I have just as much a place as Peter. I have just as much a place as John. I have just as much a place as the Apostle Paul. You know why? I fit there. You know why I fit there? That's my family. That's my home. Would you ever go up to the door of your house and knock on the door, if it's your house, and ask if you could come in? What would you think about your child if your child came to your house and knocked on the door and said, could I come in, please? Well, that's ludicrous. They've got just as much a right to be there as anybody else in the house. You know why? Because of family. God made me meet to be partaker of all the glories of heaven because He made me His son. And I have just as much right to be there as anybody else that's in the family of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God just as much as anybody that's never been saved by the grace of God. I belong in heaven. He made me meet for it. I fit there. I'd say not only that, He made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, not just because of the family connection, but because He changed something about my nature on the inside. God the Father, when He put the Spirit of God in my heart, He gave me a new nature. He gave me new desires, new loves. You know, there's something about me that wants never to sin. There's something on the inside of me that wants to be as far away from sin as the heaven is from the earth. There is a desire in my heart that was put there, listen to me, that was put there by my Father to be like His Son, you see. There's a desire that was put by my Father in my heart for home. And that I look around, now there's another part of me, this thing that's born of Adam. Oh, it still wants to go after sinfulness. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who shall be able to deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's something about this outside that enjoys the world, but at the same time, there's a new nature on the inside that says, you know that's no good. You know you don't want that. You know that doesn't satisfy that. And there's a tug from home all the way up to heaven's shore, down deep in my heart, that made me meet for heaven. Amen. Can I say something to you this morning? If you're not saved, look, if you're not saved here this morning, unless you got saved, you wouldn't want to go to heaven. You wouldn't want to be there. you wouldn't sit there. There would be nothing. If you don't like the Bible, why do you think you'd like to go to heaven? If you don't like church, why do you think you would want to go to heaven? It's forever church. If you don't like the Lord Jesus, if you don't love Him, if you don't think about Him, if you never have a desire to praise Him, if you're like a knot on a log when everybody else is trying to praise Him and sing praise and lift up thanks to Him, and if that's so foreign to you and so strange to you, why do you think you would be remotely interested if they would let you into heaven? Because that's all we're going to do. You understand? If a sinner doesn't fit into heaven unless something's changed on the inside of him. Because if someone changed on the inside, if he got to heaven, all he'd want to do is find a smoke. Are you listening to me? All he'd want to do is go find some place to carouse or a party to have. And there's none up there. Are you listening to me? All he'd want to do is go find a place to find a drink, and you can't find a drink up there. All he'd want to do is get together with his buddies and have a big shindig and tell dirty stories. But there's no shindigs up there like that. I'm telling you, the only way a human being could enjoy heaven is that God, the Father, has to make you meet to that. He's got to put a desire in your heart that gets together with that, that fits that. And oh, there is a longing in my heart to be like Jesus. There's a longing in my heart for that city of lights. There's a longing in my heart to, amen, sit down by the riverside and put my feet there and rejoice in the Lord for a million generations. There's something that's deep inside of my heart that wants to get so far away from this sinful world and so far away from this sinful flesh and just be with Christ forever and ever and enjoy His righteousness. That's what's in my heart. But let me ask you a question. Is that in your heart this morning? You can't make it be in your heart. God the Father has to make us meet. He puts the desire there. You know, I tell you what, guys, we spend a lot of our time trying to get lost people to have spiritual desires. You can't do it. It doesn't work. Lost people will never have a spiritual desire. God the Father has to change our nature. We're made meet for the partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light by our family connection, by the inward desire and nature that God's changed us with. But then thirdly, God the Father does something else. The Bible says in verse 12, "...hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." God makes you a saint. Now what does that mean? He sanctified you. He made you a different person. You could just as easily look at me this morning and call me Saint Brent. God the Father made me that. You know why? How did He do that? God the Father, Jude verse 1, the Bible tells us, blessed be God, and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said that sanctifies us. God the Father sanctified you. He said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and Brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. God made us saints. He sanctified. You say, how do you get to be a saint? Are you a saint? If you're not a saint, you don't fit in heaven. The inheritance of the saints in light. Heaven is not the inheritance of sinners. It is the inheritance of saints. Sinners don't want light. They want darkness. Where's your preacher? I just don't feel like a saint sometimes. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells you how you become a saint. Well, this is good. I wish someone would share this with our Roman Catholic and Greek Orthodox people. I'm a saint. I belong in heaven. I tell you what, it'll help your state of mind. Every time I sing that song Brother Jimmy picked out this morning, Only a Sinner Saved by Grace, make sure you emphasize the saved and not the sinner. Right? Only a sinner saved by grace. In other words, I'm not still living in that situation because God's made me a saint. Amen. God the Father made me that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. If you've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God declares you to be a saint. If you have been made part of God's church, God calls you a saint. He said that He sanctified you. He did that. And He calls you saints. Now, you know what He says? He calls all these Corinthian saints. Boy, they are a mess. Anybody read about these people in Corinth? I mean, the men got long hair. Come on now. I mean, I'm just preaching. And the women got short hair, and the people are suing each other at law, and they're fornicating. And God's having to kill some of them at the Lord's Supper because they're so disrespectful. Right? What a mess. They're fleshly, they're carnal, they're babes. All they like to do is fight with each other. And God says, you're saints. I bet the devil gets up there and says, boy, it sure doesn't look like that to me. Isn't that what he sort of did with Job? You say Job's the best man in the world. It sure doesn't look like that to me, God. Well, you know what, devil? You don't get to make that call. And the world doesn't get to make that call. You know why? Because God the Father is the one that sanctifies, and it's God the Father that calls people saints based upon their trust in Jesus. So I've been made something. I could never be a saint. God made me that way. You ever heard somebody, you know, they get caught, they do some sin, they say, well, I'm not a saint. Well, then you need to get saved. You ever heard anybody say that? Well, I'm no saint. Well, bless God, I am. Because God the Father made me that way. And why don't you let Him make you that way if you're not saved? I'm talking about giving thanks unto the Father because what He has made us. And then look at the next phrase in Colossians chapter 1. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1 verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light who hath delivered us. He not only made us, but He delivered us. What did He deliver us from? He delivered us from the power of darkness. You see, that's why we can be made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made us children of the day. He's made us children of the light. We're children of light in the Lord. And by the way, the Bible says, He talks about every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. When God the Father puts something in your heart, it glows. It's lit. It's light. It's not darkness. God never gives you darkness. He gives you light. Oh, but there was a day that we were all in darkness. Every one of us was under the power of darkness. And the Apostle Paul, the Bible said, gave a testimony in Acts chapter 26. He said, the whole reason God saved me is so I'd go out there and preach so I can turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. I'm telling you, the devil's got control of people's lives and he fills it full of darkness. But oh, God the Father can deliver us from the darkness. You ever thought about darkness? I think it's so weird. People have Halloween, they want to be so afraid, and then they go into the next month and be thankful. What's weird about that? And the world wants to magnify the curiosity and the interestingness of darkness. Well, I remember being a kid, but I remember being afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. By the way, now, I go in the motel room and I turn the clock upside down. I want it to be dark as black, brother. I want to go sleep. I'm not afraid of what's in the darkness. But darkness brings fear. You ever been out in the woods? Remember hunting up in the woods of Virginia and it got real dark. The moon wasn't out. Stars weren't shining. I was up in my tree stand. I came out of the tree stand. I started walking out of the woods. I'd sort of memorized my way pretty good, but I couldn't see by the moonlight. And then I started hearing some twigs popping behind me. I'm talking about nobody for miles. By myself in the dark. So I stopped. No more twigs. Then I started walking again. More twigs. He said, what'd you do? I walked faster. You know, whatever that was, I'm telling you, there is a power of darkness. There is a power that the immoral nature has that's so dark. Man is involved in such darkness, and it brings fear, and it brings control of hell over our lives. The power, think about hell, that's a dark place. It's outer darkness, Jesus called it. Outer darkness. The power of hell, the power of Satan. He lives in the darkness. He wants you to sin in the darkness. Think of all the things that surely are done in our world every day, every minute, every second somewhere that are so dark you wouldn't even want to behold what's going on in the darkness. And the power of that. And yet God the Father steps out when we come to His Son and He calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And God the Father does for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He delivers us. You know, the Bible talks about that Antichrist in Revelation 16. Talks about that beast that is to come to this world. And the Bible says His kingdom was full of darkness. What's coming to this world is dark. Do you know what? You know what God the Father says? I've made you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, and I've delivered you from the power of darkness. There is nobody in here that's saved by the grace of God that can be controlled by the power of darkness. You've been delivered from it. You say, preacher, well, then why is there darkness in my life? Because you did that voluntarily. There is no power. Darkness has no power over child of God because God the Father delivers us from the power of darkness. Do you see that? Delivers us. Now you can make a dumb choice and let darkness come back into your mind and heart and life, but you are delivered from the power of it if you're saved. You don't have to do that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that Satan has no power upon me because of what you've delivered me from. Thank you, Father, that sin doesn't have to have any power over me because you've delivered me from the power of darkness. Thank you, Father, that Satan in all of his power, in all of his might, in all of his own greatness in his own sphere, that Satan himself does not have power over me because you have delivered me, Father, from the power of darkness. Bless the name of God the Father for His deliverance. And I give you the last one. Giving thanks unto the Father because He's made us, He's delivered us. Then I like verse 13. It says, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He's translated us. Enter into all that goodness the Father's showing us. Translate us. How many of you have been to foreign countries you couldn't speak their language? Would you raise your hand? Isn't it a blessing? You ever tried to learn it? Learn another language? You know, I've been with Brother Robert. He's learned all that Vietnamese, and man, I tell you what, you couldn't even read it, let alone say it. Don't even have the right characters. If I rolled out a scroll here in Mandarin Chinese and held it up to Larry Hargrove, I might as well hold up signs of animals. He is so foreign to know what Mandarin Chinese is. They know hope. You can't get from his form of English to Mandarin Chinese. It don't work. There's no road there. It doesn't go there. You know what I thank God? I thank God for this King James Bible. You know what it is? It's a translation. Don't throw off on a translation. Because if you had the original, you couldn't read it. Amen. I thank God for the translation of the Bible, that He would put something in my language where I can understand it. And I can find things in it. It's got chapters and verses. Don't let anybody throw off on that. That's the blessing of translation. So you can have a book that you can get something from God out of, instead of go trust somebody that says he knows what it says. Translation. But you know what God did for you? If you get the day you got saved, amen, He took broken English and put it into Mandarin Chinese in a day. He took the characters of Greek and he put it in a vernacular that you could read. He just changed the whole format of it. Think about translation in one other way before I'm finished this morning. The Bible says that Enoch was translated. Enoch was changed. Enoch didn't die, but he still went to heaven. How are you going to go to heaven without dying? God has to translate you. He has to make your body something else for you to be able to go up there, because this body don't fit up there. This body can't survive up there. You couldn't make the trip. You could get on a rocket and you can't get to the third heaven from here, brother. You can't travel that fast. Your body would not survive there any more than it would survive in outer space. You're not fitted for there. But Enoch walked with God, and one day God the Father said, "All right, Enoch, you're going with me. Where are we going, Father? We're going all the way up to where I live. We're going to the third heaven. How am I going to get there like this in this body?" He said, "I'm going to translate you." And one of these days, amen, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with Him in the air. How does that happen? He's got to translate us. Enoch's that only type of that rapture of the church in the Old Testament. But now wait a minute. It's one thing to take a human body and make it a spiritual body. It's one thing to take one language and put it in another language. But this is the great truth of this text. God the Father, He's hath translated us right now. I've been changed right now. I have been translated. I have been changed from what I used to be. I've been changed from the status that I was in before. I've been changed with the penalty. Everything about me has been translated. I'm a new person. I'm a new creature. Why? Because God the Father, He translated me. Just like He translated Enoch to heaven. He just did it on the inside. And I say the feet, the feet of God the Father, to take all this junk and wickedness on the inside of me and make it just like Jesus, probably is a greater translation than just taking these fingers and this body and giving it a new one. The translation on the inside. Now, I'm finished. We give thanks unto the Father. Are you sure that God is your Father? If God is your Father, He's made you to be meet as a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life.